Let's start with contact tracing. What is contact tracing, and why has there been a push to have the capacity to conduct contact tracing for the coronavirus?
Okay. Well, whenever a lab-confirmed positive case is reported to the health department, we begin with a case investigation where we receive medical records, we interview the patient, and when we're interviewing them, we determine their infectious period, and then we work with them to identify those that had close contact with them during that infectious period, which could include the time before their symptoms were apparent. And so it make a list of the people that they have been in close contact with, meaning those that were within 6 feet for longer than 10 minutes of time. And then we reach out to those people to inform them that they have been a close contact of someone who has tested positive, and we inform them about measures that they need to take while in quarantine to help prevent the spread of the virus to others in their circle.
How long could that infectious period be? Or what's the typical infectious period?
So usually people become infectious 2 days before their symptom onset, and then it can range for 10 days minimum beyond the time their symptoms appeared. And so when we put someone in quarantine, we usually put them in quarantine for 14 days from their date of exposure. Because within that time frame, if they were going to develop the coronavirus and have symptoms, they would likely show up between 2 and 14 days after they've been exposed.
And when you do reach out to people who were possibly in contact with the patient, what measures are you advising them to take?
Well, number one, we would like them to stay home. People that are ill with the coronavirus are in isolation, and those who have been exposed as a contact are in quarantine. Or if there's someone who's at high risk, they can be in quarantine. But for those who have been exposed to someone, we'd like them to be at home for 14 days. We, of course, want them to be able to stay separate from most people if they can. They should be wearing a mask, even if they're around other people in their own home that maybe weren't a contact. Taking all the same measures that we take in the public as far as washing their hands and social distancing from others. We ask them not to go out in public unless they absolutely have to. And if so, like maybe they were getting ill and they wanted to go see their doctor, we ask them to call their doctor ahead of time and let them know that they've been a close contact and wear a mask when they're going to see their own healthcare provider. We also ask them to monitor themselves for symptoms twice a day. We make sure that they have a thermometer to take their temperature, and we go over the different symptoms that they might see related to the virus. And then we have them on a text monitoring system that we enroll them in if they're able to text, and they let us know whether they're symptomatic or not. If they don't have the ability to text, then we make an arrangement for them to call us or we call them.
Have you gained any general insights into maybe the average number of people a typical COVID patient could have potentially exposed? Is it two or three people or more than that even?
So far, for the cases that we've had in Butte County, we've had an average of about 10 contacts per case. Sometimes those are contacts in the home. Sometimes they're contacts in their circle of friends or at their work. But typically, it's been about 10 contacts per lab-identified case.
That's interesting to me, too. Along those lines, have you gained any insights or information regarding the movement of maybe people in the county who have contracted the disease? Are they out and about, or is it they're going out for essential services and then going back home?
know, it's been really interesting for us. I think the thing that's fascinating about case investigation and contact tracing, it's really detective work. And it's really looking for patterns. We have an epidemiologist in our department who helps to look at patterns. And what we're really seeing right now, especially since we've had our stage two reopening in Butte County, is it really is pretty widely present in our community. Initially with our cases, we could pinpoint pretty readily where they had been exposed, whether they had been a traveler or whether they knew they had been exposed at work from another positive case. It was a pretty direct link. And now we're finding people that are not really sure where they had come in contact with someone. They don't remember being around anyone who was ill. They don't know of anybody who had a positive case. So, again, now it's what we really kind of expected with the reopening, and the reason we needed to increase our ability to respond quickly with containment measures, which is really case identification through more testing and then through contact tracing, was able to pinpoint as soon as we could who is testing positive, who their contacts are, and helping those contacts stay quarantined so that we can stop the spread of the virus in the community.
You mentioned people not being exactly sure where they were possibly exposed. Should people be keeping a mental log or even a physical log of where they've been in the past week or so to help investigators track down that information?
That is actually really helpful. Early on, we saw, you know, some people on social media saying, hey, I've learned about you can keep a daily diary of who you've seen and where you've been. And we have people that kind of do that normally anyway, especially in today's day with, you know, texting and Facebook and different social media. Many people have been very helpful. They've known where they've been and who they've seen. And so any kind of, you know, memory joggers that people might want to use to help them when we talk to them, we encourage that. It's helpful to us, and I think it helps them be sure that if they've come in contact with, you know, any close friends or people, you know, and coworkers or people in the community, we've had a lot of really positive response for those that we've called and try to help us put the puzzle together for their particular situation.
You mentioned so much of this is that sort of detective work. How many so-called disease detectives do you currently have in the office?
Yeah, we currently have six full-time nurses that are working as case investigators. And we now are going to be moving some of our nurses who have been working as contact tracers. We're moving them into disease case investigation. So we'll soon have eight people pretty much working full-time just on this case investigation.
The case investigations and the investigatory portion of your work, is that one and the same of contact tracing, or are there other tasks involved with investigating COVID-19 and exposure points?
Yeah, you know, we have a whole separate group of people. We have people that are doing case investigation, and then we have a team of people that are doing the contact tracing. And, you know, most of those people are people who have other jobs within public health, but they've been cross-trained in order to be contact tracers. Some of them are doing it full-time, and some of them are doing it part-time while they're still doing their other public health usual role. Our contact tracers have been trained not only by one of our local public health supervisors, but most of them now have taken an online virtual academy that's been offered by the state through the California Department of Public Health. So even if this wasn't their usual role in public health, they've received additional training in order to help them in this role.
Another topic I've been interested in is asymptomatic spread, people who are possibly spreading the virus but may not know it. Is your office seeing these types of cases? And if so, is it fewer than the symptomatic cases that you're seeing?
I couldn't give you a number right now, but we are seeing more asymptomatic people or people who thought, I thought I just had allergies or, you know, I don't really remember being sick, but they are now testing positive. So, you know, again, that is why we say it is in our community and people should not let their guard down. You know, wear your mask, wash your hands, use social distancing, and don't go out unnecessarily. Don't put yourself in situations where if you're the only person wearing a mask in a crowd, it's probably not a good place to be. Stay out of large crowds. And, you know, just really protect yourself while you're protecting your fellow community member.
I've also been interested in the level of cooperation that your team is seeing. Are the majority of patients speaking with contact tracers, giving them the information they're looking for, or are you running into some roadblocks?
You know, fortunately, we have a really close-knit community. I believe that, you know, unfortunately, after the campfire, we had a lot of people who really came together called Butte Strong. And I think that COVID is just another challenge that's facing our community. And thankfully, people want to help. You know, they want to help their fellow Butte County resident. And we have had very good cooperation with those that we've identified as cases to help us, you know, really understand maybe, you know, who they've been in contact with or who maybe they had been in contact with themselves to be exposed. And we've been very grateful that our small community has been able to really, to this point, contain this very well. You know, many larger communities don't have the small town camaraderie that we have. So I think it's been a benefit for us and able to keep our numbers as low as we have been.
One thing I've personally been curious about is if you find a patient had visited, let's say, a grocery store during a certain amount of time, whether customers are able to be notified in any way, whether they were there at the time as a possible exposure and perhaps should quarantine themselves. Is any work like that being done? Perhaps putting a flyer up on a store window or something like that? Or is that not the case?
That, you know, that is very atypical for a need for COVID, because unlike measles, where the virus is spread in the air and has an airborne transmission and hangs in the air for hours, COVID is a droplet transmission. And so that's, again, why you have to really be within 6 feet of someone for 10 minutes or longer to have a true risk of exposure. So the need to identify customers in a large setting is not the same as it would be, like, for instance, with measles. That's why the individual close contact tracing is so important with COVID, because it really is about distance and time.
Is there anything I didn't ask you that you'd like to share about the work you're doing regarding the pandemic that people should know?
Yeah, I would just like the public to know that as much as Butte County is doing to respond, you know, really strongly still with our containment measures, with investigation, with testing through our lab and encouraging testing through other labs, through our contact tracing, really still the answer to this is to try to maintain those measures that we all practiced before the reopening. That is really what stops COVID in its tracks. And until we have a vaccine, that is the thing that we can all do to really keep COVID at bay and keep the numbers low in our community.